inviting someone to the house of God, I got a definite promise for Wednesday night. Amen. At the brick house. Said, I'll be there. Said, I have to work. And I said, well, I'm going to be looking for him. Well, I'll be there. So, all right. You know, you never know.
Amen.
Just got to ask somebody. Right. Ask that it be given, seek you'll find, knock, and it shall be open to you. Right. In Psalm 73, beginning at verses 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart.
Yeah.
But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Then, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in the dead, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither. That's God's people. It goes back to verse 10 here. And the waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and an increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and have washed my hands in innocency. For all day long have I been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until there's a change that happened. I went into the sanctuary of God and understood their end. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 to 16, the Word of God has this to say. Verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4. It says these words, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when the glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Father, help us, I pray in Jesus' name, that God, you may help your people tonight. And Lord, if there's a lost person here, that they might think on their way that they're going, that no matter how lofty they lift their eyes, no matter how much they speak against God, one day if they go on in their sins, they're going to have to give an account to God. As your word says, and as it's appointed unto man once to die and after death the judgment. I pray you bless this church, Brother Mike. Lord, as you leads and every member might have a mind to work while it's day, because the night's coming when no man can work. I ask you to help God's people and strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to speak to you on this subject, the trial of faith. Now, I know you say, I've got faith. I know I have too, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's hard to believe. When you ask, why does this happen to me for no apparent reason? You ask things that come about. My wife had just looked at Moody Funeral Home. Obituaries had been there where Brother Mike from. And Brother Tucker there at the church. 50 years old, I know him. Got a very precious wife. He had just answered the call to preach back yonder. His mother just died. I went down to the wake. And anyway, I was in a meeting. I couldn't go. I had an appointment with the doctor the next day. But Sister Tucker, she had sang a song, she is able. I like to. There's nothing my God can't do. But anyway, they only found out he had cancer, as my daughter called this morning. And it must have been the fast time since his mother, because it hadn't even been over a month, if it's been that long, that his mother went on. His funeral will be Friday. She brought up another obituary of a man that was 40. He was a registered nurse, his mother was. He had been over in Wolf's, there at Dobson, where they go to die, where that they make them as comfortable as they can. You know what? One time I had 5 funerals in 3 days. And when I was back, that was back years ago, I counted up the ages of them. And you know something? It amounted to 21 years and 4 months. I know that there's just an infant or two that had died at that time. Some on up. But you know what? That's why God says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come not, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then he says also at the end of that chapter, of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion or the end of the whole matter. Yeah. Fear God and keep His commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Right here in this particular psalm, David, and they said those things that was happening to them, because it wouldn't be written the way that it's set down. And all through the Bible, we find trials of faith for the believing child of God. I'm going to tell you, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you. You know, I had a little one of them today. It took a little bit about it, and I didn't lose my faith, but I got to wondering why. And so, I'll not share that, but God, give me the victory over the thing. I know whatsoever. I've learned this in over 63 years of being saved, that whatever the Lord doeth, He doeth all things well. Whether it's the way I want it or not, but thank God it will ultimately be right in the others. Now right here is the way he started out, the honesty of it. In this psalm, the very honesty of this man, and in other psalms, they do not cover up their doubts, their fears, and their failures. You study the psalms. I've preached through them on the radio, maybe in over a 2-year period of time. And anyway, every psalms you'll find out here, they do not try to cover their own sin. They admit it. They do not cover their doubts. They do not cover their fears. They acknowledge them. But thank God you find out before that the end is over with. They've come through the valley of Baca of weeping, and brother, where they watered it with tears and left a fountain for someone else. I found out in every fiery trial that I've ever had to go through as a preacher. And the preachers used to have different kind than somebody else. As some that have, we all do. But I had a man that told me that was in a storm, and he was about to come out of it. He said, Brother Rayton, you know something? I couldn't have went through that storm if I hadn't saw a time a few years ago in your own life that you stayed faithful. You didn't wobble on the wheel. I said, I might have started to stay faithful, but every once in a while I got a little wobbly. But he said, yes. But I saw that God tried you. I said, yes. And when we're tried, think it not strange concerning the fire trial that's to try you. Now I know that Hebrews 11, starting out in that chapter, the heroes of the faith, the first thing it says, now faith is. It's not something that was you had. You either got it or you don't have it right now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not a figment of imagination. Brother, faith is substance. The word hope means anticipation, expectation, and believing the things that are not that God has promised that He's going to perform. Now, you and I, He said, without Me you can do nothing in John 15:5.
Yep.
I quote that to me right much because I need that. But anyway, and it said, by faith, by what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Let's get into law enforcement. That's evidence that's left on before. We wasn't there and seen it, but brother, we can read because it's set in God's infallible word. That think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's to try you and I, because someone else has already, that's what Brother Peter said. But rejoice about it, because thank God if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but say, glory to God, hallelujah, I must be a little bit like Jesus. That's what the Lord said. And so, you find out that's evidence of things not seen. That gets into looking at evidence that you didn't see it. But my son is in law enforcement, still in the reserve, my oldest son. Been in 42 years, retired after 31 as a captain. But you know, they had different groups in law enforcement. He knew some. But anyway, the detectives out here of a crime scene of different things, they'd leave some evidence. And even though nobody saw them, that evidence, after a while, the circumstantial of it, it's a evidence of things not seen, that somebody did it, and then there's enough evidence left there that pointed to them till they was convicted.
Amen.
And then it got in a newspaper reporting then. Then the next said, and that by it, of faith, the elders obtained a good report. They reported. Brother, we find in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you go back and study each one of them's life individual of the Old Testament. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice and Cain, by which he obtained what? Witness. We didn't see it. That he was righteous. How did you do it? God testified of his righteousness. God said, that's what it is. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and brother, the blood covered your sins he shed. He rose again from the dead. He suffered the just for the unjust. He tasted death for every man. You believed that, and brother, others believed that. And right then and there, as for you as a lost person, at that very minute, thank God, the evidence, you believed and you received. You can't explain it, but it happened to you. It's evidence of things not seen. Now, David started out, and he said, truly God's good to Israel. He couldn't help but say that.
Right.
Truly God's good to Brother Mike today. God's good to me today.
Right.
He is good to you today. Is he able to be here? Truly God's good to Israel. But look what happened then. There's something that wasn't going too well for him. You say, why wasn't he? He said, and even to them that are of a clean heart. Now, he didn't say them that had a filthy heart, God's good to it. They didn't feel too good. But anyway, them that had a clean heart, God was good to them. Has your affections been nailed to the cross? Is your heart right with God? If your heart's right with God, brother, I want to tell you, David said, my heart's fixed. I'm going to tell you right now, everything else is going sideways, down, it seemed like. But thank God his heart was fixed upon the Lord. And he knew no matter what, his steps might have faltered. He might have stumbled over something and fell down. But thank God his heart was fixed. He knew in his heart that God had done something for him and was doing something for him. And brother, afterward, this life was over, he'd go to be with the Lord. He said, but as for me, notice in verse 2, my feet were almost gone. You know, your feet, that's bad. When I was in the military, you know something? Did you have foot inspection?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we did, didn't it? You lay down, pulled your socks off after training hard, going up. Brother, they wouldn't come there, had them gloves on, the doctor, they spread your toes apart, your foot up on the foot locker, and you had foot and feet inspection. You don't know why? You say, yeah, I'd like to know. If his feet, now I don't know what he's got, corns or calluses on them, but I know one thing, he's got beautiful feet. You say, you don't know that. I do. Romans 10 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except he be sent? As it's written in Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. He preaches the gospel of peace, so he's got beautiful feet. The word of God says so. You say, well, I don't look them. You don't have to. You say, what's he doing? What he's doing today is carried him. Now, I was standing over there. And how did I get over here to be able to shake hands, Brother Mike? My feet brought me. Now, I want to tell you, the head out here controls the body. The eyes are seeing. And you look to where you stand. But then the thought originates in the head. If I decide, all right, I'm coming down and shake hands some of y'all, that first in my mind. And then my feet to get there has got to carry me to you. He said, my feet is about gone. In other words, he said, I'm down. I can't go no farther. Hey, they almost gone. I got blisters on my toes and bunions on my heels, so to speak, and they're sore. You ever get that way? You feel like you just couldn't ever take another step? All the battering rams of hell are hitting you on every side. Friends, for so-called friends forsake you. And the foes are assailing you. You wonder about then of what's going to happen. He said, I was envious then at the wicked. My feet had held well. My slip is almost gone. And then, brother, not only that, then that's gone. The next step, I was liable to step on something slick and get flat on my back. He said, they about slipped on me. How many of you have ever been like me? It felt like that next step you took, you was liable to fall another flat. I have. You might not be honest enough to admit it, but I'm admitting it. And I'll probably have some other times like that too. You say, why does that change my faith in God? No, thank God, if I search my heart and know my heart's clean and others, God's good to me no matter what might happen to me. God's got a right as a potter to put the mold of clay however he wants to. We have no right to argue again. Shall the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? No, indeed. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You and I can improve a little bit on this clay. Well, why? Because you've got a clean heart. Bible said tongue no man can tame, but God can. We can get a dose of 3S tonic, as Brother James said. You say, what kind? I used to preach a message on God's 3S tonic. Any of y'all ever remember that patent medicine? It is supposed to cure everything. Good for your blood, SSS, yes, yes, yes. That's an advertisement, that's a slogan. That is catchy. Well, I want to tell you one thing. You know what Brother James gave us? He said, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And buddy, that would save us a lot of trouble if we'd do that. I'm talking about a good dose. That time I think I'm cured, I find out I'm not. But anyway, he said, I was envious at the wicked. Now, what have we got of the wicked to be envious at? Well, he alliterated the very same thing. Now, I'm getting to the sermon. I'm trying to get a little foundation, and then I'll finish right quick. All right? Notice what he said right here. He said, I envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It said, look like a wicked's got the mightiest touch, and I'm struggling to make ends meet, pay my bills. My power bill just was $100 more than I thought it was. Something happened to my automobile, and I have to go and spend $100, $200, or $300 on that. About that time, something happens in the house. You go doing that, and you say, well, honey, when's the thing going to end? And look yonder at the wicked. why everything they have, they just not having a bit of trouble. Automobiles running good and never blows a shingle off of their house when a hurricane comes through. I mean, it just looks at it. Look at it. He said, I'm envious at them, at the prosperity. He said, there's no bands, hands in their death. No bands in them. In other words, that bands, they just die easy and don't even suffer, he thought. That's not so. I've seen the wicked suffer. But you go to thinking that, the devil will make you think, say, it's vain for you to serve God. Look yonder at how good they're getting along and look at you. I'm trying to get the negative part of it. The devil's a liar and a father of it. And then thank God, show you where God's done something for us especially. And he said, they are not in trouble as other men, neither plague like other men. Verse 6, they pride compass them about as a chain. Violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They got so much they're getting overweight. He said, no matter what they did, they just stand out everything they got, the fat of the land. Why, even David said some of them over there, all the cows had twin calves. That's bad what he got said. And then he said, right here, they are corrupt. They speak out here wickedly. And they oppress people. They speak lawfully. They're above everybody else to take the good. They set their mouth against the heaven. They blaspheme their tongue. And out here in the earth runs and think everything. And then, therefore, his people out here, hither, and waters return hither, and the waters of a full cup. Seem like God puts a rain out sometime, and rain you plumb dry. You wonder where that. He said, that looks like the way it's happening to God's people. Don't happen to wicked. You say, what are you talking about? I'm trying to talk about trial of faith. I want you to thank God, and I've been down the road a little while. I've had a lot of things happen. I've had the waters full cup run out of me more than once. But I've found out every time, brother, I, at my age, 88 years old, been saved over 63, been preaching over 61. I want to tell you right now, when God wrung everything out, and when it seemed I've hung out to dry, God had a blessing right there to show me that, thank God, no matter what happened, that if God be for you, who can be against you? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with you freely give us all things? It's a gift of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure, I've suffered heartache. I'm the last one in my family. I'm the youngest of the 12. My mother had two sets of twins. I had a sister die diphtheria before they knew what to do at 6 years old. I never knew the older one in the family. My mother had a set of twins that died. All the rest of them died. My last sister 5 years ago died at 102 years old. But anyway, you say what? I'm the last one. I'm a dozen one. I tell them I come cheaper with a dozen. They got up to me one much left. But anyway, you notice here, they said, these people out here, and then they ask, how does God know what I'm doing? God don't know everything. He does know it. You can't go out here. There's not even a thought you have right now or I have of what God don't know it. And I'll go a little bit farther. I'll say it next week if you're alive and I'm alive. According to Psalms 139, there's not a thought that will ever enter in your mind but what God doesn't already know it before it ever does, and even a word what you're going to speak. You say, what that? That's foreknowledge. Known unto God are all his work from the beginning of creation. That's why we need to be that 3S tonic. And so, he said, behold, these are the ungodly. All day long have I been plagued. Everything's happened to me. Every morning I'm chastened. I get up and I go to being whipped. And then he said, if I say I will speak, behold, I hear I should offend against the children of my children. He said, if I got telling about all these things, going through with it, my children to come along, they might not even believe God. I got to keep it to myself and just bear my burden. That's what the Bible says, every man to bear it. How many times have you ever told your kid, Brother, when you was even doubting a little bit yourself, if you've got children on up and all of mine are grown, I got 3 great grandchildren, nothing on the way. And anyway, 7 grandchildren. And others, there are times I tell my children when things come and say, "Daddy, when things going to change for us?" I said, "I don't know, but it's going to. Let's not worry about it. Let's trust God." You say, "Why?" I'm going to tell you right then, my faith wasn't too strong. But I wasn't about letting my kids know that I was a doubting. You say, "The Lord knew it." Yeah, but He's getting ready to strengthen me. Hallelujah. And then you know something else? He said, "Now I thought to know this, it is too painful," in verse 16. And then, this is what I want to get to you, until, in verse 17, "I went to the sanctuary of God and understood the latter end of them that I'd been envying." Now, these folks tonight, some of them that didn't make it, that could have made it, they may be going through some of the very things that right here the psalmist did that would have helped them tonight, and they're not here, and they still got it. If you're here tonight, if you'll take this and believe it, God will help you. You say, "Why? Well, it's not helping nobody else, helping Rayton." You say, "What'd he do?" He said, "I went to the sanctuary of God." Where's that? I went to church. I went and heard what the Word of God said. They read God's Word. They sung God's song. And all of a sudden, something happened then. And then, he said, when his feet was almost gone, when his feet was about to slip out from under him, next step from under. He said, "Lord, they're the ones in slippery places. It's not me. I'm on a firm foundation." Boy, what a change made. He went to God's house. He heard something that helped him, strengthened him, built him up in the most holy faith, till he could swing over, held on a rotten cornstalk, one thread hanging, and come back in the arms of Jesus, singing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He went there. You say, "What did he have the cause of it?" Verse 2 and 3 of his problem, his trial of faith. But in Psalms 43:5, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, I shall yet praise Him." Every time you cast down, don't worry, child of God. You may be down now, but the day's coming you're going to see, and you'll praise God and say, "Why did I doubt Him at that time?" I've had to ask God to forgive me of doubts back yonder. When did I waver? When I was understanding? And when God blessed me and my cup run over and blessed the saucer, and I couldn't stand no more and say, "God, if you don't hold it up, I think I'm going to die out here of religious satisfaction." Sometimes getting on shouting ground like that.
That's right.
Want to holler, "Hallelujah, glory to God."
Amen.
And then not only that, he had to complain, verse 13 to 16, of why then. He is practicing a godly life. He is avoiding out here the sin. He is a praying to God. And yet he says in verse 14, "All the day long I'm plagued." But all of a sudden he went to the house of God and things changed. You and I are prone to complain in trials and others. You say, "What found?" He found a cure. Boy, isn't it wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if he found a cure for cancer? Wouldn't it be pure? Wonderful if they found a cure of some of these other fatal diseases. You'd live forever, but Job cried out, "I would not live always." But he found a cure of his problem when he went to the house of God. He heard God's Word. Something he heard there affected him. You say he did. Notice verse 17 to 20. He said, "I went to the house of God." And then he said, "Then I understood the wicked's end. Surely you set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction." He said, "They're heading for hell. They'd mock God, they'd scoff at God, but I believe God, and they're the ones that's going down, and praise God, I just got a revelation. Instead of being down, I'm a heading up, Mike." That's enough to make a Baptist holler amen when they don't want to. That's even maybe get a grunt out of a Presbyterian, and it's not emotional. Notice that what else? Not only the cure. I hear in verse 17, and he said, how are they brought down in verse 19? To desolation in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. Brother, if they don't, all of a sudden they die and hell lift up their eyes and there's no hope of ever getting out and they cry for mercy too late. I'm glad, thank God, I cried out, God be merciful to be a sinner. Thank God on a Thursday night, June 63 years ago, the first week of June of this year, and I'm going to tell you right then, mercy and truth are met together and righteousness and peace kissed each other, and they've been a-hugging and a-kissing ever since, like Psalms 85:10 said. You say you talked about trials, yeah, but I've had more hugs and kisses than I've had trials. It's been better. It's been worth every mile of the trip. If I never had a problem, like a songwriter knows, I never know if he can solve them. But through it all that you go through, you'll learn to trust in God, trust His Word. It's impossible for God to lie. And brother, God's going to bring you through. When you tried you, you'll come forth like gold. And the rock, when you rung out, brother, all of a sudden He'll pour out the blessing. And you'll drink water from the high places and fountains in the valleys. He'll do it.
Yes, sir.
He said, listen.
Yes, sir.
He said, and like a dream, He said, they are utterly consumed with terrors. And then verse 20, as a dream when one awakeneth. So, O Lord, when Thou awakenest, Thou shalt despise their images. Thus my heart was grieved in verse 23, and I was pricked in my reins. You say, why was his heart grieved after he got it? I'll tell you why. He'd been complaining too much.
That's right.
He's having a pity party. He sat down and said, truly God's Israel, such as our clean heart. But as for me,
right,
my feet about gone, they wore out. Next step I took, I was liable to slip and fall flat on my back. Then I was envious of the wicked, the prosperity they had. They had everything. They didn't even suffer in their death. They had more than their hearts could desire. When he saw what happened to them, that's why he got pricked in his heart. When he got a revelation from God of what God had promised him. I'm going to tell you, child of God, we got the best is yet to come.
Right.
Hallelujah!
Right. Yes, sir. Good.
He said, I went to the house of God. That's why you do. You never know when you go to God's house when you're needing help or worse that He's got it right there and He's liable to turn the whole situation around.
Amen.
Next thing you'll get inward, unexplainable, outward, all over this, and ask yourself, greed in the heart, why was I fretting and worrying and downcast over all of this when I forgot, Lord, You was in control and nothing couldn't happen to me and no temptation taking me but such as common to man, and You're faithful and won't suffer me to be tempted. Above that, we're able to bear but with the temptation make a way of escape in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He found a cure there in verse 17, 20. I kind of like it when he got cure. I had pneumonia 3 times. First time I was about 7. They didn't have stuff to tab dead. And I'm the youngest in the family. They give me quinine, Dr. Cunn. He's got pneumonia. He could tell that. Mom and Dad had me at the foot of the bed, a little boy. Saw some of these running around. I was sick. I was running a high temperature. My dad had a little country store. They went to town to get things as well as wholesale truck coming. They said get some fresh oranges and squeeze some orange juice and maybe that method tasted good at that pneumonia. They made me eat something. And anyway, they got that orange juice and they come back from town at Mount Airy. They squeezed it out, a whole glass full. Boy, I tasted it as cold. It was delicious. That's the first thing tasted good, Mike. But about 3 minutes after it hit my stomach, I'm going to tell you that temperature and others, it must have curdled it. I mean, I was spewing. I passed out. But when I come to, I don't know how long I was out laying there at the foot of the bed. That pan where that I'd vomited in, my mother, the little mother, was there. She had a cold towel on my forehead. She had a hand over it. You talk about a comforting touch. She is saying over and over, my poor little boy, Lord help him. I tell you, I dropped off to sleep. That temperature broke. And when you're pretty young, you get out pretty quick.
That's right.
First thing you knew, I was running around like these boys was. That's just about like when everything seemed like it happened. And then there's the comfort of it. Verse 20 to 28. Notice this here. I know we've been going this, but he said this. He said, my heart was grieved. And then he said in verse 22, I was foolish and I was ignorant as a beast before you, Lord. I didn't understand it. I was complaining. Nevertheless, he said, I am contending with thee. He said, it seemed like God is a million miles, but I realize I'm with you all the time, and you're right here with me. Now, I know you feel like God sometimes, God's not around. But how in the world can anybody that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and be in you, of wherever you go, he has to go. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's no way in the world you get away from him. But we sometimes wonder. We wonder. He said, and thou holdest me by thy right hand. If he measured the water in the hollow of his hand, meted out the heavens, measured it from one star to another with the palm of his hands, weighed the mountains and scales and bounces, took a measured cup and measured the dust of the earth. It's what he did. He measured it. So he must have had a measuring cup. And then not only that, he said he holds you in your hand. All the water in hand. I've been across the Pacific, across the Atlantic, and I'm part of the Mediterranean. But I'm going to tell you right now, on all the rivers and everything else, he holds just the water in the hollow of his hand. You know what I'm saying? He said he holds us, him and the Father, in his hand. No one's able to pluck us out of his hand. You know what I call a situation? You remember this. I call the Lord's got the situation well in hand. We're in his hand. He said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. He said, Lord, I found out you let me go through this to teach me something and to guide me, so I'll be stronger the next time that something comes along. Now, I travel sometimes, and she's got a GPS. But sometimes that thing's crazy. It'll tell you opposite direction. You try to find my house GPS, it'll send you a mile down the road, and I'll tell you the directions how to get there. And then when you get down the road, come up there, it won't tell you the driveway to enter into my house. It'll take you on up top field and said, recalculating. But you know something? A lot of times, I went up, I looked for a landmark. If I go to a strange place and I'm driving, and I see something I'm not going for, I don't want to get, if I'm not sure, I'm not a bit ashamed to ask. I'd say, I'm a stranger here. I'm looking, I want to know where to get, what road gets me down here to this. Well, somebody, I'll tell right quick if they don't know. You say, why? And some of them knows, don't know how to give directions. That's the truth. They don't know how. You ask them how to get to people's church. Some people could out here 5 miles away, off the one down on the side road. They say, well, go up here to the highway. Well, why don't they all know the number of the highway? And then turn left, the other side of it. And go out there and look for the big sign, People's Baptist Church, and then turn right there as you see the sign and the things there. That's pretty simple. But they don't know how to give that direction. I've had some to give me. I'd go a little bit above, about 100 feet farther, pull into police service station, and if I seen a policeman, boy, I went right up to them. I said, "Sir, excuse me. I'm new in here, and I know your way around. Can you tell me how to get to this place?" He said, "Yeah, very easy." And when he gave the directions, I had the right directions. You say, why? The law was behind it. And I followed his directions, and guess what? I got there. And you say, what then? The comfort of it. He cried out, "Whom do I have in heaven but thee? There's nobody on earth that I desire besides you." It was a trial of our faith. But surely the Lord's good to Israel.
Amen.
Them a clean heart. But then he found out it's good to him. He's good to all of us.
Amen.
Next time you go to trying, you're down the valley. I'll tell you, if God said it, it's impossible for God to lie.
Right.
Whether I believe it or not, it's still so. If God said it, that settles it.
Yeah.
Don't matter what you believe it or I believe it, if God said it, that's it.
Yeah.
And your feet, it's not going to slide and be gone and then slide out mud unless God wants to get you a little bit to show you there while you're down that you'll look up to him for guidance and direction. Father, I pray if there's a lost person here tonight on the road to hell, I pray the King of Terrors overtake them right now. They'll realize their need of God to be saved. Lord, come to the Lord and be saved. I pray if it's a child of God, somehow or another, Lord, they get that comfort they need from the Word. Lord, I'm glad you give it to me. You helped me tonight. If you didn't help nobody else, just to go over this again and see these precious truths. Go into the house of God that made us, Lord, understand that you would guide us with our counsel afterward, receive us to glory. Whom do we have in heaven but thee? And there's none on earth I desire beside you. And one day we're going to be like you and forever with you. What a comfort. We stand, Lord, right now. I pray whatever that he's praying, that somebody here tonight's got cares, that they'll do like God's Word says, come and cast all their care upon the Lord, for you care for them. Would you stand right now? You need to come to the altar tonight. You're at God's house. God helped you tonight. God showed you. You're in a trial tonight. You can't see your way out. Why don't you come and say, Lord, you'll guide me to counsel. I'm going to wait on you. Help me to be patient to do it. You'll show me the way because you are the way. You open the door because you are the door. I'm weak, Lord, but you're my strength. You'll help me. Folks, it's coming. What about you? Has God spoke to you?